let me share this teaching that I titled Being a Witness, Part 1. Well, many people, like what Jerry was talking about, the things that are going around the world today, many people think that living in the age of information and misinformation is something new. Further than that, especially the new generations, the Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. The fact is that the real fake news have been competing for the best audiences. It started right when Adam and Eve decided to listen to Satan, the father of lies, the originator of fake news. And we as Christian believers and sons and daughters of God knows that very well. But nowadays, when you can hardly believe, you can hardly believe one side of the other when listening to the so-called news, especially today. Wars, rumors of wars, this and that. But when you listen on your TV, on your newspaper, radio or media, especially with the insertion of AI, which whole purpose is to deceive the unsuspecting, great part of the problem being those heralds who stand behind the story they want others to believe, promoting lies of which the source from such information comes from is the God of this world. You know, Jerry was talking about his ministry to steal, to kill, and to destroy, the father of lies, who want all, without exception, to accept his lies as truth. Well, today, in part one of this teaching, I will not talk about those mouthpieces of today's news, but of those ones who stands by the truth, the best, true, original, and more fundamental information that exists. In Joy's prayer, she was talking about we are God's words. We are His voice. And yes, we are. We are witnesses of God, witnesses of Christ. Now, the dictionary defines witness as one that gives evidence, specifically one who testifies in a cause or before a judicial tribunal. A witness is also a person who witnessed or acquired direct and true knowledge of something. These witnesses are the focus of my teaching today. Biblically speaking, witnesses the testimony of a person or something as a memorial, which bear testimony to a person or an event. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word ed refers to the legal element of witness. One rendered testimony based on observation, which was to be true and faithful. When someone was accused of transgressing the law, he had to be condemned only by the testimony of more than one witness. Go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Yeah, my tongue gets twisted when I try to say Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 17, verse 6. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. The hands of the witness shall be the first upon him that put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people, so that shall put the evil away from among you. To lie is evil. Did you know that? We know where it comes from. And the punishment for lying was death. The witness involved in a judgment were expected to be the first to throw a stone to the accused. Just remember when You know the woman that was accused of and caught in adultery? When Jesus told everyone present, he that is without sin, let him first cast a stone at her. No one did. So they all were convicted by their own conscience. And they left. And when Jesus asked the woman, where are those who accuse you? There was none to accuse her. So besides their conviction of their consciences, up to that point, most of them knew and were aware of what the law said about the consequence of their false witness. A witness was someone who had awareness and accountability to their own vow or commitment to serve the Lord God. Go to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, we're going to read verses 22 to 24. Joshua 24, verse 22. And Joshua say unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they say, we are witnesses. Verse 23. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your hearts unto the Lord God of Israel. Verse 24. And the people say unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. We are witnesses, they say. Now we have to understand, this was all done by words, when words truly had real value. Now, God himself setting the example by placing a higher value to his word over to his name. Remember what Psalms 138 say, verse 2? I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now the Lamb's Bible in the last part of verse 2 says, for thou hast magnified thy word above all name. Interesting. Now this verse involves the basic elements of a witness. Name, words, loving kindness, and truth. Mr. E.W. Bullinger explains that God's word is magnified by fulfilling it beyond all expectations. Now in Psalms 111, verse 2, and some following verses, you can see that. I can read it for you. Psalm 111, verse 2. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Verse 3. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. Verse 4. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Verse 6. He has made known to his people the power of his works, in giving them the heritage of the nations. Verse 7. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. Verse 8. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. These verses are just a little taste of how God magnified his word by fulfilling it beyond all expectations. Now, the Hebrew word for word is imra, meaning commandment, speech, or saying. It comes from the Hebrew word amar, which means to bring forth to light. But that was God, whose name, word, loving kindness, and truth always bring things to light. no one could doubt about the verity of his judgment and the assurance of his commandments or his sayings. But in the case of Israel, who used to break his word at every step, Joshua had to hold them accountable. So in Joshua 24, verse 26, and Joshua wrote the words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. Imagine that. Joshua set up a stone, and he said, this stone hath heard every single word you say. This is our witness. Stone. Joshua set up a memorial to the commitment. A stone to be a witness against Israel. This act of memorializing is also a witness and was commonly used and practiced in the Old Testament. The memorial is a witness response to both present and future generations of God's activity. Now, although the legal concept of witness found in the Old Testament is continued in the New Testament, per se, the Gospels, many things change from Joshua's time's commitment to Jesus' times, because something very interesting occurred to the legal concept of witness and testimony during the trial of Jesus. When the religious leaders of those days didn't care at all about following the law to serve only God. So when Jesus was caught and brought in front of the high priest, we can go to Mark chapter 14 and see what happened. Mark chapter 14, verse 55. And the chief priest and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death and found none. Now the word sought here means that they were desperate. They were zealously seeking for false witnesses in order to kill Jesus. The phrase "and found none" means that they couldn't find witnesses that agreed, as the following verses mentioned. Verse 56, Mark 14:56. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. Verse 57. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy the temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did they witness agreed together. You know, it's pretty much like today. You call the witnesses and one say, he was wearing a red shirt. No, it was not red. I saw it, it was pink. No, but I thought it was purple. Hard to get true and faithful witnesses, even today. So at the end, all of these witnesses failed. They disagree in their accusations. But that was not going to stop these violent, diabolical religious leaders. If they didn't care at all about God's word, much less did they care about Moses' law. Mark chapter 14, verse 60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answer thou nothing? What is it which this witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus says, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest said, everything you say will be used against you in a court of law. No, he didn't say that. Verse 63, then the high priest ran his clothes and said, what we need any further witnesses? What happened with the commandment of two or three witnesses? So we can also read that part, that response from the high priest at Mark 26:65. Let me just read the last part for you. The high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. That for the need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. I told you, Jesus, you just say it, and everything you say is going to be used against you. And in Luke chapter 27, verse 71, and they say, what need we any further witnesses? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. Interesting. So these people tried to justify their wrongdoing, ignoring what the law said about two or three faithful witnesses, taking themselves the role of witnesses and judges by giving Jesus a death sentence. Now, in the epistles, Paul reminded Timothy not to act too hastily. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19. So Paul reminded Timothy not to act too hastily, accusing an elder without at least two or three witnesses. 1 Timothy 5:19. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Paul knew the law better than anyone. You know, like what Exodus 20:16 said? I'll read it to you. You don't have to go there. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. But Paul's advice to Timothy didn't have anything to do with the law of Moses. It had everything to do with being a faithful witness by speaking the truth. In Proverbs 14, verse 25, I'll read it to you again. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Truth brings deliverance. Exactly what Jesus said in the Gospel of John. Remember, go to John chapter 8. I know you have heard these verses so many times. Verses 31 through 36. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if ye continue in my words, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answer him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So in order to be a truthful witness, a person should know the truth. And the only condition here to know the truth is to become a disciple of Jesus and continue in his word. Words are used to speak the truth. Did you know? Jerry was teaching, I think I was the last time, about the devices of the world the devil uses, the devil uses to attack God's people. Remember? Sometimes believers, sometimes our own family. But you know what is the most subtle thing devil use to deceive? Words. Words are his favorite weapon. So, words are used to speak lies. but words are used to speak the truth. Now, Jesus' words is not what we read or hear from the world's news, from TV or the media. Now, Jesus refers to the Word of God as his own words because he had made them his own and he lived by it. That is what we also have to do. Continue in God's Word, make it our own, and live by it. The beauty of this is that truth will not only make us free when we know it, but by being true and faithful witness, we can bring deliverance to others, to other people's lives. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 9. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Death is a consequence of what Satan, the father of lies, brought to mankind. And whoever lies in any category of life, the end result, as witches read, shall perish. Don't blame God for that. Personally, I wouldn't like to work at any news media outlet nowadays. So, there are rewards and satisfactions as a result for being a faithful and true witness. But there are also very bad consequences for the false ones. They should perish. Of course, God wants us to be faithful and true witness of his word. Someone who delivers souls, and not someone who speaketh lies and deceit. The Gospel of John chapter 1 talks about John the Baptist, who came to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Go to John chapter 1. In verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The saying came for a witness to bear witness of the light. We were talking about the light. Jerry was talking about the light. Joy pray about the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Joy proclaimed that light was available in a time when darkness prevailed. Well, nowadays, it is not so bright out there in the world, right? It's also kind of a grayish, not too dark yet. We're not at, like Jerry said, we're at the end time, but not really at the end of the end. So John proclaimed that through that light, Jesus, all might believe. The word all here is all without exception. But not all did. Not all are going to believe. Which is read what that diabolical leadership did to Jesus after they caught him. Mm-hmm. John chapter 3 verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. Verse 26. And they came unto John and say unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptized, and all men come to him. John answered and said, Amen. Can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. John knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and all Jesus did come from God as well. We have also received the ministry of reconciliation from heaven, because God called us to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. In the first verse of John chapter 3, Jesus talks to Nicodemus about the new birth. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews and knew the law also very well. He believed Jesus was sent by God, but he could not understand the new birth. In John chapter 3, verse 9, Nicodemus answered and saying to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and saying to him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness or our testimony." Nicodemus couldn't understand what Jesus was telling him about to be born again. It was not available yet. But he was one of the few in a leadership position that believed Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus established that a witness must know or have seen that what he is talking about. It should be part of what he is giving testimony of. A testimony is a solemn declaration under oath for the purpose of establishing a fact, as in a court of law, you know. It is also to make a statement based on a personal knowledge or belief, to declare, explain, and denote with certainty and truth something in the physical and in the moral. Is this not what we have been also called to do? We all know very well the events after the resurrection, right? From when the disciples were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, through the ascension, when Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me in both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That became a reality on the day of Pentecost. We also know about when in Acts chapter 2 verse 13, the people were mocking the apostles after they heard them speaking in tongues, saying they were all full of new wine. Imagine those kind of witnesses taking this life to their place of origin, thinking about the apostles being liars, drunk people. We all know also when in Acts chapter 2 verse 14 says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and saying to them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." Wow! This is not a fearful Peter anymore. The one who denied Jesus when he was accused of being with him after Jesus was caught. "Listen to my words," he said. We have to remember in John 14:10 when Jesus himself said, "These words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me." Meaning, these are not my words, but my Father's words. He does the job. But Jesus made God's word his own. And Peter now, what is he saying? "Listen to my words." He also made God's word his own. We can see again the importance of the words. Whatever you say or whatever you hear is important. It causes some impact in your mind. Remember Genesis chapter 1 verse 1? God in the beginning said, "Let there be light." And through his word and his power, he created the heavens and the earth and everything that exists. So words matter. But the important part of this is where those words come from. The source is what validates those words and also give credit to the witnesses who proclaim and give testimony of them. And Peter, here, is talking as a witness unto the Jews. Verse 15. Acts chapter 2, verse 15. Peter responds, these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Spoken words again. And it shall come to pass in the last day, say God. Say who? Say God. Who is the source of that information? God himself. What did he say? I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. This last sentence, upon all flesh, should be enough. Encompasses all without exception. It covers every single human being. All here is the same Greek word used in John chapter 1 verse 6 where it says that all through him. Who is him? The light. Who is the light? Jesus Christ. Through him, all might believe. Now, God was very specific with the Jews when Peter in verse 17 said, and your sons and your daughters, talking to the Jews, shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. But verse 18, my friends, cannot be more specific about whom God, through the prophet Joel and by the mouth of Peter, is talking about. You and me. Verse 18. And on my servants, doulos, and my handmaids, doulay, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Today are those days, my friends, the day when you and I got born again. Are you a doulos? Or a doulay? Yes, you are. Yes, we are. Verse 19 and 20 quotes some prophecies for the latter days, for when that great and notable day of the Lord will come, but we are not going to be here. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, the phrase call on the name of the Lord is used 4 times in the Bible, 3 times in the Old Testament, and only once here in Acts chapter 2, 21. It doesn't really mean that you are going to be saved. The Jews were very familiar with this phrase, which means to invoke God's presence for help, guidance, and deliverance. Then in verse 22, Peter starts talking about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a proof of God. He talked about his works, miracles, and wonders, and how he was crucified and slain by them. He told them how he was raised up from the dead by God, and how even David spoke of him. And in verse 32, Peter said, Acts chapter 2, verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. In 1 Corinthians 15:5, you don't have to go there, says that Peter was the first of the apostles who saw Jesus in his resurrected body. Then, all of the apostles. They were all witness of the resurrection. They saw him with their own eyes. The Bible also mentions that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Acts chapter 2 verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel assuredly, without a doubt, that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Wow. Peter confronted them right there. He didn't sugarcoat it. You, whom you have crucified. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, were pricked in their hearts, and saying to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as much as the Lord our God shall call. And as if the word all from John chapter 1 verse 6 and from Acts chapter 2 16 weren't enough, here it is again, meaning all without exception. There is a reason why 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. All without exception. So the promise Peter is talking about reaches all the way to us and beyond. As much as the Lord God shall call toward himself to summon or to invite. So it is also our responsibility to bear witness to what we know and do not allow the legalists or those who promote all wise fables and doctrines of devil to prevail. Acts chapter 15 verse 5. We're going to read a few verses there from verses 5 to 9. Acts 15 verse 5. But there arose up certain of the sects of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up. Peter again, little old Peter, he stood up for the truth and say unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Verse 8, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So it was God's own decision to make the word of the gospel of Christ available to the Gentiles and to believe, to the point that God himself bear witness of it, giving us the gift of Holy Spirit. The book of Acts mentions all throughout that the apostles were witnesses of the resurrection. We already saw that in Acts chapter 32. In Acts chapter 1:22, they appointed Matthias to be ordained, to be a witness with them of the resurrection. In Acts chapter 4:33 says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. This happened when they were told to stop talking about Christ. Stop, we command you to stop preaching in that name. Well, so as the apostles were witness of the resurrection, so are we. We have the ministry of reconciliations. We are God's voice here on earth. We carry his message. We ought to proclaim it. The proof is in speaking in tongues. This is our proof we can testify about the doctrine of Christ. Now, if a witness is someone who witnessed or acquired direct and true knowledge of something, And if the epistles exhort us to grow and to abound in the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of God and on His Word, just like what Jerry was sharing a few minutes ago, let's get to know Him. Let's get to know the Word. Let's get to know God. Let's get to know each other. We are a family. God's family. So let's do that. Let's grow in the knowledge. So we could become better witnesses of Christ, of God, and of His Word. And to know that we know that we know that we know that we know what we know with certainty. And to be those faithful and true witnesses who bring deliverance to the souls, to the souls of others. There's more in the second part. So far, God bless you.